So good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Legacy Finance Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming. This is obviously a remote hearing in this modern world, and I'm super excited that everybody's here and we're up and running. We have amazing things that we work on. And in this committee, and it's really such an honor to be chair, but to have you all as a team. So I think I'd like might to start with. I think I need to call a roll. So if my star committee legislative assistant Katie, if you could be willing to start there. Please. Go ahead when you're ready.
Chair Lilly.
Here.
Vice Chair Jordan.
Here.
Representative Green.
Here.
Representative Acomb.
Here.
Representative Anderson.
Present.
Representative Bowe.
Here.
Representative Christensen.
Here.
Representative Hassan.
Here.
Representative Murphy.
I can see her.
You're on mute still?
Oh, technology is so hard.
I think that's a here.
I'm going to take that as a here, yeah. Representative Erdahl.
Here.
And Representative Wozlawick.
Present.
And Representative Zhang.
Okay. Well, thank you
I
all
think you missed Representative Nelson, but I'm here.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. And I'm totally comfortable with that, speaking up as we move forward. And we will get this done correctly as a team. So so I'd like to start with some introductions. And I think I've watched some other committees, and we're all on other committees. And I think it's kind of nice to get a feel of and a little bit of get to know each other, and maybe have not a lot of time, but just to tell a brief story maybe about yourself. Well, start with your district and what you represent, where you represent, and then kind of go into, since this is a legacy committee, maybe you could speak of, I'm sure you've stepped up your interest in the committee, I would hope, and maybe seen a project in your district or even enjoyed it, whatever that might be. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold the former chairs off to last, so they can do kind of a just to warn Representative Erdahl and Murphy. They're going to be not in order. So I'm going to start. Representative Leon Lilly. I represent North St. Paul, Oakdale, and Maplewood. And when I left here last night, I was I needed a mental health physical break. So on the way home, I went over to pretty sure it's Shelley Christensen's district, and was able to hop on the skinny skis and went for a nice ski in the dark. And the neat thing is, out of the Metro Parks money that comes through this committee, a few years ago they bought lights, and so the trails are actually lit. And there was probably 100 people out there. It's not like Theo Wirth's number, but it's a lot of people and out enjoying where, you know, they wouldn't be able to had it not been for Legacy. So with that, I'd like to go to my vice chair, Sydney Jordan, Representative Jordan.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. My district is home to the Northeast Minneapolis Arts District, which is a huge collection of artists and studios across Northeast Minneapolis. We're all really proud of our art heritage. We're also really proud of our historical significance as, you know, the Upper St. Anthony Falls and a lot of work on the Mississippi River happening in Northeast Minneapolis. We don't have lakes, but we do have the mighty Mississippi, and we love to spend time on that river. And again, making art. So my district is super creative and loves to find inspiration in a lot of our history and arts and heritage. So I'm really excited to be part of this committee and excited for all the work we're going to do together this year.
Thank you. On our GOP team, we have the lead on the committee will be Representative Steve Green, and he's been on the committee for a few years, so he's definitely bringing some expertise to the table, and I'm excited to have you, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I've been on here since I was elected. I think I started my first year in 2013, and so I've been on the Legacy Keep Committee, and I know there's a lot of projects out there that people like, but my focus has been, as it is with everything here, I think part of our job is to make sure that the money is spent wisely and that it, in a transparent manner. And so those are the things that I work for on Legacy, and I hope to continue to do that. Glad to be the lead on this committee. Glad everybody's here. Hope we have a good working relationship. I am from Northwest Minnesota. Instead of telling you my counties, which you probably wouldn't know where they are, most people know where Park Rapids is. And so if you drew a line from Park Rapids about halfway to Fargo, and then went north on that, from that up to about Highway 2, that's my district. So it's a big district. We have farming, resorts, logging, and industry there. So it's a pretty diverse community. We have the White Earth Indian Reservation where I live and reside. So that's a little bit about me. And if you have any questions for me at any time, I'm not as hard as people think I am. I don't smile much because my face doesn't look good when I smile. But glad to be here. Thanks for everybody for being here.
Thank you, Representative Green. I'm glad you're here. Representative Acomb.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Representative Patty Acomb. I represent the communities of Minnetonka, Plymouth, and Woodland, out in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. My background is in natural resource management, and so the idea to be able to be on the Legacy Committee just aligns with my personal values and the things I think are important in our state. I will say that I am proud to live in a state that recognizes the importance of investing in our arts and the environment. And so, is there any one particular project that stands out? I think they're all amazing. And the fact that, you know, we live in a state where we have lots of seasons, and so to invest in ways for us to be able to get outside and enjoy winter. If you're gonna live in Minnesota, you gotta embrace it. And so to hear that Chair Lilly was out skiing last night and there are resources like that all across our state is just really important to our quality of life. And so thrilled to be here and I look forward to participating.
Representative Acomb mentioned that you're on, tell us a little bit about the Clean Water Council.
Yeah, so I was appointed to the Clean Water Council during the first session, my first session. I'm just coming back from my second session. And prior to coming to the Minnesota House, I was on the Minnetonka City Council and actually as a local government was represented on the Bowser Board. And so have some interest and experience and background working in the water issues. And so being on the Clean Water Council is a great place for me to be able to hopefully help shape the way we're investing in our state to work on improving our water resources. And so I'm thrilled to be there. And it's again a representative board from a lot of different agencies and perspectives that impact water. And so it's a great place to be able to work collaboratively on improving our water resources.
Thank you, Representative. I thought it was important to mention that because about 1/3 of our money comes through the Clean Water Council for this committee.
Good point.
You'll all know that soon enough if you don't already. Representative Anderson, welcome. We're excited to have you. I haven't been blessed to serve on very many committees with you, but I've loved serving in the legislature with you, so I'm super, super happy to have you on here. I know. Go ahead when you're ready, sir.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. Good to be here. And yeah, I'm excited also to be on a new committee for me. I'm in my seventh term here at the legislature. I'm a farmer, live up in the plains of western Minnesota. District 12B is the district number. Kind of the area, if you go along the freeway from west of St. Cloud up to the Alexandria area, pretty much comprises my district, Stearns County, parts of Polk County, and also Douglas County, parts of all three of those counties. Mentioned I'm a farmer, concerned about the environment, conservation, things like that. And being new on the committee, not aware of a lot of legacy projects that have been done right around my area, I do have a concern. I have to tell the committee that some prime farmland right in my area of Polk County was purchased a couple of years back by, I think it was Pheasants Forever. They outbid the farmers in the area that wanted to buy the land to continue farming it. And then after a couple of years, it was, I understand, given back to the state, to the DNR. And there is some concern, I think, among folks, especially ag people, about the groups coming in, using state money to purchase land and then giving it back to the state. It goes off the tax rolls, and concerned about that out in the agriculture part of the state. But glad to be here in the committee and want to learn how things function and how you do things. So thanks, Chair Lilly, for the opportunity, and glad to be here with you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Green has strongly mentioned that issue of the farming and of land in different parts of the state. And so I hope that we can continue to have discussions on that and see where we can continue to work on that. Thank you. Representative Bo?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. This will be my second round, go around in the Legacy Committee, and I'm excited about that. I represent 47B, which is Chaska, Chanhassen, and Victoria, the beautiful Southwest Metro. So we have many lakes and parks and trails and the beautiful Minnesota River Valley. But we're working now on connectivity because each of my communities has a lot of nice trails, but you can't get from one to the other. And so we're really kind of working toward connectivity so folks can go elsewhere and get into Minneapolis and enjoy the Greenway and all those sorts of things. So those are things that are high on my radar. But I do want to say we also have a lot of art there. Paisley Park Museum and the Chanhassen Dinner Theater and the Arboretum is a fun place to spend an afternoon. So you all need to come down and visit us in the Southwest Metro. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bo, and sounds good. I'd like to get out to the Arboretum. I haven't been for a couple of years, so that'd be great.
It's even more beautiful than the last time you were there.
So,
with you, Leon.
Pardon me?
I want to ride along with you.
Okay, sounds good. Representative Christensen, good morning and welcome, and excited to have you on the committee. Go ahead when you're ready, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm excited to be on the committee. I'm in my second term. I was just reelected to my second term. Excuse me. And, you know, my first term on the Legacy Committee, so I'm excited about that. I serve out in the St. Croix Valley area. So most of my communities are up and down the St. Croix River. And I also have Lake Elmo and Grant Township. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just excited to be on here. I think, you know, I kind of wanted to be on this committee last time too. So I'm excited to be here this time. As far as a project that I know of out here is I live pretty much downtown Stillwater. We have a Riverside residence that the Legacy Committee helped us to purchase, which is now a part of our park system. And there's a lot of work that has to be done on the property, but it's going to allow us to have access to the easier access to the river. So we're there may be sculling things going on. We're going to maybe rent kayaks out of there and give people more immediate access to the river for self-propelled sport type things. So And really thankful. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of property. So that's just one of the many good things I think that the Legacy Committee has done for Minnesota. So thanks. It looks like a great group here, and I'm excited to serve with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hassan?
Can you come back to me? I'm walking in.
Okay, sounds great. We certainly can. Representative Hansen? Nelson, sorry. Sorry to turn you into a Hansen. That's
okay. That's all right. I've been called worse.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Nathan Nelson, I'm from represent 11B. I live east of Hinckley. I'm live a mile and a half from the St. Croix State Park, and the largest state park in the state, but that's I don't think a whole lot of legacy dollars go to that. But there's Robinson Park is up in Sandstone, and they just got some funding here this past year to do some. I think the projects are currently ongoing, but that also ties in with the the Banning State Park, which there was a lot of sandstone quarries there, and so there's both of those have a lot of great trails and things like that in it, and but it's I think it's a real beautiful area, a lot of varying terrain. I farm, and that's if you come off of Highway 48 and you come into my farm, it's kind of wide open flat area where a couple miles down the road it's forest and wetlands, and you wouldn't believe that you could farm out here, but it does change a little bit. But we also got the East Central Regional Arts Council is in or they've got a in Hinckley, they've got a studio in there, and that's kind of neat. That's been funded by Legacy, and my artistic abilities are somewhere around stick figures and then guessing what they are. But I appreciate art. I really wish I could have a mind to be able to do it. I've got some friends that do some upcycling. They could take the broken parts from my farm and make something really cool of it, and then sell it for more than what I bought the replacement parts for. And I wish I had that mind to be able to do that, but I just admire it. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. This is my first time on Legacy, but it is something that I think environment, the outdoors, and agriculture, I think kind of all go together quite well, and glad to be here.
Right. Thank you, Representative Nelson. Thank you for telling us your story. What do you farm?
I have beef cattle, and then also I grow corn, soybeans, and hay.
Yep. Thank you very much. Representative Wazalek, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Representative Amy Wazalek, I represent District 38B, which is northeast suburbs of St. Paul, White Bear Lake, and surrounding areas. And I am a big, we have a pretty thriving arts community in White Bear Lake. We have an art center that's currently in the middle of expanding, and we have a really active historical society as well in our community. So some really great history in our community as well, that is sort of a big part of our community and the things that we do. And that's sort of where my interests lie. I'm a big history and arts and cultural heritage person, and most of the legacy stuff that I see is when I nerd out and watch TV shows on PBS. That's where a lot of my exposure comes from.
Thank you very much. Last cycle, Representative Wazalek took the initiative of getting people swimming lessons around Minnesota. And how exciting is that to be able to get people out in the water and swimming lessons and, it sounds basic, but it's so important just to have basic water safety knowledge and abilities in this land of 10,000 lakes. So thank you for, that's just one thing, but that's pretty neat work. I I see you were able to run in to Representative Hassan, and good job. I'm impressed. You don't look like you're sweating or anything, but you look all calm. So go ahead when, go ahead when you're ready, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Houghton Hassan. I represent District 62A, which is South Minneapolis. By definition, the district that was in on fire during the civil unrest, that's my district. This is my second term. This is my first term in the Legacy Committee. There are plenty of projects in my district that was funded through the Legacy Committee. But one of the reasons why I'm here is maybe push some equity lenses on the way that we fund projects. Many times we end up funding mainstream projects while there are, you know, projects that are smaller from the BIPOC community that are as important as those mainstream projects. I'm excited to be here and learn from you guys. I think almost everybody in here, I have not been in a committee except two members. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you and learning from you. Thank you.
Well, welcome. Thank you for running in. I'm impressed. I was over there with seeing some of the events, and I particularly noticed in Northeast Minneapolis and Representative Lee's district, they had that little park right on the corner, and I believe that was Legacy funded, I know there's many other things, but it was unexpected just to see that right there, this neat little park on the corner. So Representative Zhang, have you been able to join us?
$1,000 in on Friday.
I don't believe you're, we'll get back to you later when then.
We'll be covered.
Representative Rudall's on the phone, so we can't go to him. Representative Murphy?
Yeah.
A former chair, first chair of this committee, and kind of started the initial rollout of Legacy. Go ahead and introduce yourself and can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, and you were on the first committee also, Mr. Chair. Representative Erdahl, and we're midway through now. And remember that a great deal of our work was on establishing goals and a guide, which I'm sure is in our packets, if you ever see our packets, but it is also online. I think Mike Malzahn probably has it on our website for the committee. And we have principles and we've made principles and outcomes for each of the four funds. And I would hope that we would have some time to either individually or as a group midway through the history or the life of the legacy funding, that we would have time to review the outcomes and principles and to see if they're still part of the living document. I did not envision what we have today nearly as much as those first 2 years. It's amazing to me to see how people have come to rely on what local communities can do together to connect people. This Representative Bowe talked about connect Minnesotans across the state through the four funds. And one of the things that we talked a lot about was that the funds would eventually be able to share projects and maybe create something more magnificent than what the individual fund all by itself could do. And we were especially pushing parks and trails and arts and cultural and heritage as something that the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Outdoor Resources Fund, would be interested in working with. And the Clean Water Fund would be interested in working with some project that was created in parks and trails or arts and history and culture. And I haven't seen a whole lot of that example. And I would like to poke them a little bit. The four funds again, for reminding them of that and see if we can make it even better than what we already have, what we have. And I'm going to ask about that when they come before our committee. And so they've had fair warning now. And the thing that I have seen across the state, and we touched on some of these projects, some of the funding of the legacy funds when we were on the capital investment tour last year. And we went to some of the areas that just do magnificent things with little bits of dollars, but community workers working together to change their culture, or to, we visited places that needed parks improvements and trail improvements, especially the connectivity of one trail to another trail and one town to another town, one region to another region. And it is within the realm of possibility that we will have at least one statewide trail that goes all the way across the state and up and down. And other trails too are connecting towns with towns, towns with regions. But the people that have been so successful are the people that have been providing library programming of all kinds for the local communities and regions. And big libraries and little libraries have extended their programming for lifelong learning opportunities from babies all the way to 100-year-old people that are coming into the library every week to do something. And that has been enhanced throughout the state. And one thing that I thought, another regional thing or another statewide thing that every area seems to have is community ed. And I wonder if we couldn't urge more community ed programs to be thinking about projects in the four funds. So those are things I've been thinking about and things I've witnessed. And this is was a successful amendment. The people that brought us to the amendment and then went out and urged people to vote for this. I can't imagine that in 2035 that they're going to say, okay, it's all over now. But we're getting closer to 2035. And so we have to think about, is it going to be more of just what we have? Or is it going to be more creative than we've even dreamed?
Thank you, Representative Murphy. And our STAR staff has already, if you check your emails, sent a copy of the guide. So you'll find that in your legislative emails. I'm pretty impressed. Good job, Mr. Molzong. Zhejiang, I'm gonna, and then I'll have Representative Bertal wrap up, but Representative Zhang, could you introduce yourself and just kind of tell us just briefly about yourself?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking forward to serving on a committee with you again. I apologize for being on late. I was on a delegation meeting this morning with State Department about some urgent matters, but excited to serve on a legacy committee with you again for a second time, and I appreciate the work that we've done the previous biennium, especially on some of the parks work and some of the cultural funding that we did. So I've been in contact with many of the communities that we've been working with, and can't wait to get back to work.
Thank you, Representative Zhang, and be curious to hear about your State Department work. That sounds impressive. Representative Erdahl, good morning. I believe you've been on this journey of a legacy for all along, and as a former chair, I've kind of pulled you up to another level of respect. We're all going to learn a little bit of Litchfield Opera House. I don't know if you've heard of that. You might want to do your homework. And then certainly the Ball of Twine is some of the esteemed artwork that you might find from Representative Erdahl's neighbors.
Well, thank you, Chair Lilly. And you know, one thing that's nice about this committee, I've noted that quite a few of the members of the Legacy Committee are also on the Bonding Committee. And there's a natural connection. It'd be great if we could have Steve Green on bonding too, but unfortunately, he's just on legacy. I'm in my 10th term. My district includes all of Meeker County, including the city of Litchfield, three townships in McLeod, half the city of Hutchinson. Glenn Gruenhagen has the other half. And I have one township in Wright County, Pocato. And as you indicated, I do have the Ball of Twine in my district, the largest ball of twine made by one man. And I'm hopeful that, you know, at least maybe we won't do it till bonding, but at least pass by and pay due respect to the Ball of Twine. As you indicated, Mr. Chairman, I've served on the Legacy Committee since its inception. In fact, I can go back two previous years. Before there was Legacy, there was a committee called the Heritage Committee, which essentially had a lot of the same responsibilities as Legacy, chaired by Mike Yarros. And by the way, I got a Christmas card from Mike Yarros this year, and a nice little note from him. In those early days, when Chair Murphy was chair, and then when I was chair, we had to work to set a lot of precedents with her guidebook. Chair Murphy helped, I think, with a lot of those things. My big challenge in the beginning was parks and trails, and between the DNR and the Greater Minnesota and the Met Council, trying to set up a workable percentage for each of them in terms of the funding for Legacy. And that was a huge challenge. It doesn't seem like it should be, but it was quite problematic, and we got it done, and I think it's working well now. I'm glad that we are past the precedent setting stages, and now for the last several terms have been doing, I think, a lot of good work in terms of getting projects around Minnesota in the four categories that we deal with. It's really a joy to see what has been accomplished over the years. I'm a bit of a a building restoration addict. I like to deal with old buildings, and I should mention that I think maybe one of the most important things that, at least in my connection with the committee, has happened is that the funding and the restoration of the Capitol started with the Legacy Committee. When I was chair, we formed the Restoration Committee out of Legacy. So I think that a major accomplishment that can resound in the future for what the Legacy Committee did, in that they started the Capitol restoration. Of course, there are other buildings. There is that Litchfield Opera House that has received some legacy funding and some bonding funding over the years, and is a real good example of what we can do to bring back old buildings. And I know we did stop there on the bonding tour, in this last biennium, and maybe we'll find occasion to stop by again, because they still may need a little bit more. So with that, I am looking forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman, and all others on the committee. I'm from my apartment here, literally a few feet across the hall is Representative Green, and so we'll get a lot of consultation there too. So thank you very much, and look forward to getting to work.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl, and thank you for your commitment to this legacy and through the years. Just fair warning to members, Representative Erdahl's presently writing a book about the legislature, so you can either seek it as a challenge to get yourself in the book, or you can try to stay out of the book, whatever you want to. Whatever your goal is, I think you could achieve it here in the next month or so. So,
Mr. Chairman, 438 pages so far, and that's on 18 years of my time here. And, quite a few of you have a significant presence in the book.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I see my committee administrator popped on. I didn't know if I'm missing something, or okay, good. So we're going to switch here now to our STAR team, and thank you, all the members, for doing that. And I think it really gives us a good chance to get to know each other. But we also have an amazing team and the nonpartisan folks, and then later I'll get to the partisan teams. But these folks have just continually impressed me, just their commitment to Minnesota and also their a commitment to the House position, which you hate to be competitive, but I think they care about the body work we do, but they also care that that our position does well as the Minnesota House. So with that, I'd like to go to Mary Mullen, if she was willing to pop on and just kind of tell hi, good morning, and just kind of introduce yourself, please.
Sure. Good morning. I'm Mary Mullen from House Research. I work on Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund issues for this committee. And I also do civil law and I do housing.
Thank you very much. And it's nice to see you. I just feel it's so weird not seeing everybody literally in person. Ms. Roberts, Ellen, I see your name. Oh, hi.
Hi. Mr. Chair, members, I'm Helen Roberts from the Nonpartisan Fiscal Staff, and I also cover the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund for this committee. I've covered it since the beginning of the Legacy Fund. There were a few years I wasn't on it, but I was there with Representative Murphy's team at the beginning. I also cover state government and labor and vets.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Janelle? Janelle Taylor? Hi, good morning. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm Janelle Taylor. I'm with the Nonpartisan House Research Department, and I cover the other three funds, and I also staff the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee.
Thank you very much. And Brad, I see you there.
Good morning. I'm with the Nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department. I cover the same funds as Janelle and then also the Environment Committee with her.
So thank you all of our nonpartisan. We're so blessed to have you as our teammates. And I just can't tell you, you know, my advice as member, as a chair and a member, just please reach out to these folks. They'll give you a straight answer and tell you to do something or not do something or figure out how to succeed. So thank you very much for your work to this committee and to the Minnesota. Very impressive. So going on to some of the partisan team, I'll start with my CLA, Committee Legislative Assistant, Katie Hirsch. And please feel free to reach out to her or to Mike if you have any questions. But Katie, go ahead and introduce yourself. And morning.
Morning, everyone. I'm Katie. I'll be the committee legislative assistant. You'll hear my voice every time we meet. I don't know if we're still doing, you know, legacy things that impact us or we benefit from, but the legacy committee helps fund public radio, which holds a special place in my heart. So I'm going to go with that one. I listen to NPR almost every day, if not every day, NPR specifically as well. So I'm going to go with that. So thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Molzon?
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Mike Molzon. I'm your committee administrator. This is my fifth year as the CA for Legacy and my ninth year with the House. I've been very thankful to have Como Park nearby during COVID.
Thank you. And Mr. Molzon has a new baby, so I hope he shares Harriet with us at times. I would hope, you know. Anyways, that's just my opinion. So, Amy Zipko with the GOP team, and you've been around here a couple of years, and I've worked on you with you in a variety of committees, and you do a great job. But Amy, go ahead and introduce yourself. And
Hi, thanks. Amy Zipko. I've worked at the House now for 10 years, and I've covered the Environment Committee the entire time. I've also covered the Ag Committee in the past, and this is my second year on the Legacy Committee, and I really enjoy being a part of this team.
Thank you. Tell us about your, you're a star horseback rider, right?
I do have horses. Yeah, I have two horses right now, and I show on the quarter horse circuit. In the past, I have enjoyed doing some riding over at Afton State Park and at Lake Elmo. I've loved having horses since, well, I've wanted them since I was 4 years old. And as an adult now, it's really fun to have them.
Thank you. Well, welcome, everyone. And thank you. I'm certain we're going to do some good work this year and have a very strong team. It's nice to get to know all of you a little bit better as well. So I think we're ready to kind of jump into the business side of our committee. It's going to be a pretty short committee today, but we've invited the Minnesota Management and Budget team to come today and kind of tell us our story, because ultimately we do a lot of things, but I hate to say it, some of it comes down to money and in this building and where we're going to spend it, and kind of the pie wheel, if you will, of how it all gets divided up. But so it's kind of nice to know what we're going to be working with. And this we've last year we had some holdbacks that MMB because of the COVID situation and the economy kind of in flux that way. But we've heard, I'm sure we've all heard the most recent budget forecast, and So we were lucky enough to have Team MMB come out to Minnesota Management Budget. And with us this morning is Mr. Fawnhurst. And
Fawnhurst, yeah.
Okay, good morning. And please introduce yourself. And if certainly if you have anything to do with enjoyed a legacy fund, I wouldn't mind hearing that, but experience. But I know you're we really need your input on the money and the budget and what we can look, you know, looking back and into the future. So thank you for joining us, and go ahead when you're ready, sir.
All right, excellent. Well, good morning, Chair Lilly. My name is Sean Fawnhurst, and I'm an executive budget officer with Minnesota Management and Budget. I'm here to provide an update on the Outdoor Heritage, Arts and Cultural Heritage, Clean Water, and Parks and Trails Legacy Funds. I will start by saying I'm a big duck hunter, so but I'm also a city boy. So I definitely take advantage of the public lands around the state when it comes to come late September, early October, and getting out there. So that's why I'm very thankful for the Legacy Funds and what they do in that area. I'm going to share my screen here. This is a handout that was prepared by House Fiscal staff that sort of runs down all the numbers. So what I'll do is I'll start by sort of talking through just the numbers and the kind of the boring stuff, and then I'll talk a little bit about the MMB response to COVID and the May forecast that showed some deficits in the legacy funds. All right, so I'll begin with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. MMB's November forecast estimates the fund will have a budgetary balance of about $139 million during fiscal year 2020. Excluding the 5% reserve balance prescribed in statute, about $133 million will be available to appropriate by the legislature. Next, I'll continue with the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. MMB's November forecast estimates the fund will have a budgetary balance of about $78 million during the fiscal year 2022-2023 biennium. Excluding the 5% reserve, about $74 million will be available to appropriate. Next, the Clean Water Fund will have a budgetary balance of about $133 million during the fiscal year 2022-2023 biennium. Excluding the 5% reserve, about $126 million will be available to appropriate. Finally, the Parks and Trails Fund will have a budgetary balance of about $57 million during the fiscal year 2022-2023 biennium. Excluding the 5% reserve, about $54 million will be available to appropriate. And so this handout includes the most recent MMB estimates for carry forward, sales tax receipts, and investment income. And if you have any questions on that, I can go through them. Otherwise, I can move on to a little bit about MMB's actions last July to hold back portions of the previous legacy fund appropriations to prevent fund deficits in fiscal year 2021.
Let's just check briefly. It seems like
so. In May, the forecast projected deficits in fiscal year 2021 for the Clean Water, Parks and Trails, and Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund balances. Therefore, MMB required. Yes.
So I think we're going to stop and just kind of take a question here. I believe Representative Acom has a question. And I don't know if there's any others. I'm seeing one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And I apologize for interrupting your presentation. I just in looking over the documents and the numbers that you just presented, I wanted to just ask how the percentages of the money were determined. Were they part of the constitutional amendment, or how was that? How was that broken down to determine which group gets how much?
Um,
Sorry, I didn't fully hear the question. Can you
I'm sorry,
for me, please?
Sure, you bet. Can others hear me, or is it my microphone?
Sure.
I think everyone has to mute. We have some conflicting noise out there.
So I'll try again. Can you hear me now? Okay. So my question was about the numbers that you had in the charts that you just gave us, the forecasts for amount available per category. And I'm just wondering how those percentages were determined for the legacy fund.
Mr. Fonhurst.
Sure. Well, the total resources amounts were determined based on sort of the MMB projections for sales tax, carry forwards, and investment income for the individual funds. And then we sort of divide them up as prescribed in statute and the Constitution between the four funds. And then when we chose to do that 5% reserve, that's based on the statutory language for each of the funds individually. And so that's why I presented that one. Sometimes, you know, we might choose to do a different reserve level depending on sort of, you know, caution and things like that. But I chose to present the 5% reserve because it's specifically mentioned in statute.
That's helpful. Thank you. That's helpful.
And I see another question. Another question, Representative Jordan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thanks for this handout, Mr. Fonhurst. It's really helpful for me as a new member. And because I'm a new member, forgive me if this is maybe a silly question, but can you talk to me a little bit about what the changes to the budget forecast have been for this committee since May? And what are some specific, I know we've had quite a few different projections, so can you talk a little bit about how that has changed and what that has done to increase or decrease our dollar amounts here with all of the budget projections and changes?
Mr. Fonhurst, is this something that we wanted to get to later, or is this we were going to cover, or do you want to answer now?
Now's a good time to discuss if you'd like me to.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
So the MMB completed a forecast in May when it became clear that the COVID pandemic would have a big impact on sales tax receipts. And then MMB also completed a forecast in November as part of our standard November forecast sort of schedule. And between those two time periods, between May and November, the forecast got quite a bit rosier, especially when it comes to sales tax projections. And a big reason for that is, you know, people might have changed their spending behaviors, but they didn't drop as large as we might have thought. And so the net effect was that the balances for the four legacy funds are projected to be a lot better than we thought in May. And so we were projecting deficits for this current fiscal year in May, and we no longer are based on the November forecast. And so that's the biggest change. And I can give one example. In May, the MMB forecast for sales tax revenue in 2022 for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, it increased from $117.7 million to about $120.2 million. And so that was just based on sort of the MMB analysis of how tax revenues had changed during those 8 months, and then our projections for how they would change in the coming 2 years.
Is that good, Representative Jordan?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I see another question. Representative Ergall.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just going back to Representative Akam's question, sometimes we take this knowledge for granted, but new members may not be so aware of it. And that is, in terms of the funding, the sales tax fund that we draw from in the percentages, 33% goes to outdoor heritage, 33% to water, 19% to arts and culture, and 14% to parks and trails. So that's where the numbers that Mr. Fonhurst was talking about come from.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. It's it's good, and everybody will be intimately familiar with those ratios as we move forward. Mr. Fonhurst, go ahead when you're ready again, sir.
Okay, so in May, the forecast projected deficits in fiscal year 2021 for the Clean Water, Parks and Trails, and Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund balances. Therefore, MMB required agencies with these appropriations to delay some expenditures until fiscal year 2022. And fiscal year 2022 starts this July, so this coming July in about 6 months. And in the previous July, MMB described these actions in a memo to legislative leaders. And this was sort of a cautionary move to ensure that these funds didn't fall negative throughout the year while we were still projecting a pretty sharp decrease in sales tax revenue. The result was that $16.5 million in appropriations from the Clean Water Fund, $4.5 million in appropriations from the Parks and Trails Fund, and about $10 million in appropriations from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund are currently being set aside to ensure the fund balances remain positive at year end. And so we didn't reduce those appropriations. We more just set them aside, held them aside so that they wouldn't be spent until next fiscal year to prevent any deficits in those funds. These holdbacks have no net impact on the available balances for next biennium because they are still appropriated under law.
Any questions at this point? So is that kind of the meat of your presentation, Mr. Fonhurst?
That is, yeah, and I'm happy to answer questions now or offline if anyone would like.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We may invite you back, or I hope members, if they do have questions, take you up on your offer. Thank you very much. We do have a question from Representative Erdahl. Representative Erdahl, go ahead, sir.
Thank you. And Mr. Fonhurst, completely unrelated, although it is part of our culture in Minnesota. Are you related at all to the Fonhurst football players in St. Cloud?
I am. We have a strong family heritage up in Stearns County, and happy to say very proud of my family. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Fonhurst. My father-in-law was their football coach at St. Cloud Tech.
It's an interesting piece of trivia. well, thank you, Mr. Fonhurst. At some point, maybe we can hear about Representative Erdahl's basketball experience up in St. Cloud, but maybe not. Maybe Representative Green can when they're in the hall there at the building. So so thank you very much for your presentation, sir. And I think that's primarily the meat of today's meeting, is just to kind of get to know each other a little bit, to lay a base. Going forward, we're going to be going through all the funds in detail as best we can and hearing presentations from all the different areas. Just so everybody knows, at some point we're going to roll out rules, but, you know, I'm just hoping everybody can kind of, it's pretty basic, line, just kind of treat each other with respect. We're going to, you know, probably have, not quite a 24 hour, but, since we meet so early, you know, try to get it in, you know, in a reasonable point in the day before is kind of what we're shooting for. So amendments when we come to that point. I see a question from Representative Wozlik. Go ahead when you're ready, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if we could maybe, I would be interested in seeing sort of the differences between what's in the funds now and sort of what we've done, what's been there in the past. I'm just interested to see how, you know, COVID impacts, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure if there's a handy chart that has that, but I'd be interested in seeing sort of historically where the fund balances have been.
Okay. Mr. Fahnhorst, is that something you might do, or would our House research team, you know, historically they've been really helpful on putting those sort of things together, and so maybe partnering between the two, maybe we could do it. Someone go ahead if I see Brad.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wasilek, if you're looking for what we've appropriated each of the years since it started, or how much has been available since the inception of legacy funds, we can provide that for you. If you want more of a detail in this past year, what happened between February to May to November, I think I'm lacking some of the data points for May to be able to say exactly how much the change has been from May to November. So if you're looking for that short period of time, maybe Mr. Fahnhorst can help. Otherwise, if you're looking for a historical over the last 12 years, I can certainly help provide that.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer. Representative Wasilek, is that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think both would be helpful, but obviously if we don't have data yet for the shorter term things, I think the historical would be a good place to start.
Okay. I think we'll be able to figure it out between Mr. Hagemeyer and the MMB and get to the data, because it is important to figure out where we're at, because some of the unallotments I'm curious about myself, and then going forward, of course. I don't know whose hand went up first. I see two hands, Representative Anderson, and then Representative Zhang after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question, maybe when Mr. Fahnhorst was still here, he was talking about holdbacks, 5 or 10%, and again, I'm new to the committee. So some of the awards given out last year that had that 10% holdback, will that funding go out to them, or is to make up for what they were shorted, or will that have to be done new again this year? How is that going to be handled?
Mr. Fahnhorst.
Yes, so all those appropriations are still appropriated under law, and they will be available to the recipients starting in July when the new fiscal year begins. So all those appropriations are still in place. They're just being sort of held back from spending this fiscal year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very good question. Representative Zhang? I see your hand, Representative Zhang. Here we go. Representative Zhang? Maybe he's just waving to us. Good morning, Representative Zhang. I don't know. So I think we're basically there. Again, thank you all. Oops, I hear somebody.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Sorry, my connection is bad, but I'm curious about the appropriations that we've been giving out. If possible, I'd like to see data on the funds that we've been giving out to see if these funds actually went to the folks who have been coming to us asking for them. Because I've heard from, and you know this too, the funds that the folks who have been asking for the last biennium, many of them have been having barriers to accessing them. And so if possible, if we can get some information from the last decade or so and more recently, just to get a better understanding of what are the barriers to the communities, especially our communities who often are not here at the table, who can't get to these funds that we, who come to present us to us here at the in this committee, but can't get to them. I'd like to see that information if possible.
So I think Representative Zhang, I think we can work with our House research team. Maybe you can hone in your question, and we can, with my committee administrator, and we can figure out exactly how to get the information that you want specifically. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Representative Green, do you have a question, sir?
Just more of a comment, Mr. Chair, if I could. The information that both Representative Wozniak and Representative Zhang are looking for is out there. I look through it every year, and it's the data is huge. This year has been extremely difficult. I'm still waiting for that. It's going to be very hard to go into this committee this year and talk about these projects when I don't have the data in front of me. I requested the stuff from the Outdoor Heritage Council, for instance, quite a few months ago, and I understand. I'm not picking on them. I understand that it's tough to work remotely and get these things together, but we're at session now, and we need this information. And so they do have it. It's sometimes you have to dig for it. The Outdoor Heritage money is or books are not daunting, but they're really close. The arts and cultural heritage is daunting because of the amount of projects that they fund on a after it goes out to the arts councils in the different regions, and so not having it ahead of time is extremely difficult. So hopefully, as a committee, we can see if we can't put a light little fire and get this information out. But the point is that to both these representatives, if you're willing to read through it and take the time to do the work that needs to be done, you can have that information.
Thank you, Representative Green. I did reach out to the Outdoor Heritage Group, and they're sending a book of the entire, all the proposals to one book for you and then for me. And I just thought I would pass it to our team and they could, because it's I believe they all kind of went online this year, so you and I are the only ones that are getting printed copies. So but apparently they're on their way, and I believe my sense is they were apologizing and working on it. So
but I don't know that they need to apologize, Mr. Chair. Excuse me for interrupting, I didn't mean to do that, but
go ahead.
All of us, I think, know how hard it is to work from home, and I'm sure that these staffers do such an amazing job, and for them to have to do it now remotely has to be very difficult. And it could be my age. I have a hard time looking through stuff online because I like to mark stuff up and go back and reference. So the book will be helpful, so thank you for requesting that again.
I believe it'll be... I don't know. I'll check after we get off today. So thank you very much. Mr. Vonhurst, I saw you popped on. I didn't know if you had a comment on something or just kind of back on.
No comments. I just think I keep popping back and forth here.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to miss something important. Again, committee, I think we're there. And certainly we can do deeper dives into all these funds, and I hope that we do. I'm super excited to get to work with all of you, and together we can, we're gonna do some great work. So with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.